Welcome back to Trill MBA, and this is the Takeover Series with Attorney Anitra. This is our fourth session of legal therapy. So come on in, sit on the couch, let's talk. So over the last three episodes, I have shared with you my proprietary process, at least parts of it, of how to deal with workplace discrimination. You know, as corporate warriors, we're used to going into the workplace and trying to fit inside the culture. But what happens when drama pops off, despite all your work to try to prevent that actual situation from happening? You know, even though I'm sharing these strategies with you about how to be quick on your feet and strategic, I remember going through employment discrimination for the first time. And you know what? I didn't have these strategies yet. I remember going to my mentor's office and telling her what was going on. And she was from Chicago, and she told me that where she was from, they cut people. I tried to figure out what the figurative equivalent of that would be, but I did not think, or at least I hope not, that she was telling me to go back into my office and cut somebody. That's how you feel. But what I did take away from that was that I had to go back and fight in a way that could put me on top. And guess what? That's exactly what I found out how to do. And so it was with that experience that motivated me to not just enter into employment discrimination law. It really motivated me to create a system that other people could replicate time and time again to protect themselves, not at the end, but from the very beginning. So let's unpack how you're currently being set up. Yeah, this episode, we can nickname it the setup. Let's unpack that. This episode is for the corporate warrior who finds herself in the middle of drama at work. You know, and not just as a tingly spidey sense, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are in the middle of some bullcrap and you need to figure out what to do. You know, most attorneys prefer for you to already be fired by the time you pick up the phone and call them to help you. But I'm a little different. I think by the time you get fired, you've already lost so many opportunities to build a stronger case from the inside and out. So if you value your job, but you also struggle with the reality that things are not going to get better, this episode is for you on how to protect yourself moving forward. So what typically happens when things start to go south at work is that first the drama happens, then you begin reacting to it. So in episode 2, we talked about the four reaction profiles. If your employment is a journey, then you are a type of driver trying to get to a particular destination. So we talked about either being a student driver and not really having a clue as to what's going on. The distracted driver, where you feel something is off, but you don't know what to do, so you're kind of reacting frantically to the situation. Or the road rage driver, where you know you're being discriminated against, so you take your power back through acts of vengeance. Ideally, we talk about being the defensive driver. Your emotions are stable, you know you're being discriminated against, but you put on your strategy hat to now navigate safely to a destination of your choosing. Most people, unfortunately, especially who haven't heard my system, are either the distracted driver or the road rage driver when things really start to go south in a workplace. So you begin reacting, just like we talked about. From that reaction, you then go and report to HR because, hey, after all, that's what they tell you to do in the employee handbook. And you go to HR, hoping that they would understand that you are being treated unfairly and that they would come in and intervene. But what clients often find is that HR becomes the very entity who turns against you and begins to come after you. Most people in that situation then find themselves separated involuntarily from the workplace, or voluntarily, they just quit, and then they try to pursue legal action. Whether you've been terminated unfairly and forced out, or if you quit, you're not in as strong of a position as if you had been at the workplace, still in your job, and then deciding to hold your company accountable legally. So, what I want to do is I want to help elucidate, clarify, shed some light on the setup that right now corporations are using against you. Okay, that's what we're going to do in this episode. Listen, I think we can all agree that when we start our jobs, we try our best to fit in with the corporate culture. We try to be one of the team players. We do things that we're not super comfortable with, but you're willing to take one for the team in order to fit in and create peace in the environment. You know, I shared a story earlier of a client who really saw herself growing with the company and didn't even want me to appear as her representative for fear that it could ruin her chances to still climb up the corporate ladder. And that's not an uncommon story. We take these jobs knowing, feeling that we can really offer value and take this company to the next level. It's just who we are. It also reminds me of a story of a young white female client that I had. And she worked at a company that was predominantly white for a supervisor who was a white woman. And all of her teammates were white women. But they were still coming after my client because she did not come from the exact corporate background, corporate employer that the other girls on her team and supervisor had come from. In that situation, most attorneys rightfully would have saw that she didn't have much of a claim, right? Because we're looking for those protected classes under Title VII, that is race, ethnicity, religion, color, or sex. Those are the main categories that fall under Title VII that are protected. And so you have to be able to prove that the reason why they're mistreating me is because of one of those special categories. But because she was still at work, and because she called me right on time, after she had received a performance improvement plan, but before she got terminated, I was actually able to find a pretty creative and totally legitimate way to get her protected under Title VII. They did, in fact, end up terminating her after I showed up as her attorney. But because I had time to work with her and set the case up, her company came back to the table and we settled the case. So, if we can understand that despite our good intentions, that we still might face real life discrimination, you have to be prepared to protect yourself. And that's what we're going to dive into. Here's what I want you to do. Instead of trying to get your corporation to like you more, instead of trying to fit in more, what I want you to do is to go into the organization understanding your value to your employer. Let me say that again. I don't want you to focus on fitting in as much as I want you to understand how your employer views your value to them. So I have something that I shared with you a couple of years ago, but let me share it again here. The five levels of employer value. There are five ways that employers typically look at their employees. At the very top, the people who are on the in crowd of a corporation, I call this level the influencer level. The influencer level. The influencer in a corporation impacts culture. They can influence culture. They are liked or loved by the leadership, considered a peer, considered highly credible as far as their opinion and authority. And here's the important part. Skill is not necessary.
What?
Have you ever looked at somebody who's really high up on a corporate ladder and said to yourself, I can do their job so much better than them? First of all, let's give credit where credit's due. We don't always know the ins and outs of somebody's job, okay? There could be things behind the scenes that you don't know of. However, for those moments where you have a pretty good set of data about what this person does and does not do, you can compare yourself and say that I have the skill set and they do not. And it's frustrating. But you know what they have that you don't? A spot in the company culture that's accepted and welcomed. And that's a hard pill to swallow. You know, there's a graphic that's been going around that shows the Black woman's journey through an organization and how she shows up so excited, ready to submit ideas on how to make improvements. And yet something happens and there's disagreement and she's slowly but surely pushed out of the organization. That's because that woman didn't understand her value to the organization. She thought she was an influencer. So she began trying to change, impact the culture when she was not invited to do that. And that's a tough pill to swallow. That brings us to the level right underneath that, which is the necessity, I call it. The necessity. The necessity is very skillful. That's why you're in that position. They need you in that position. Something critical must happen in that organization and you fulfill that role. So your opinion is still valued, but not to the point where it changes the culture directly, but it's an indirect influence on culture because your opinion is informing those who are making the decisions. So in this position, you must not try to infiltrate the culture unless you are invited to do so. Underneath that level, we have the worker bee. The worker bee. The worker bee cannot try to change, break the organization at all. Okay? Your opinion is not valued, and you have no influence on the culture whatsoever. So I see the worker bee a lot in situations where you have somebody working in a call center. And I'm not, I don't want anybody to feel attacked when I say this, but just from my experience and just to give you an image, when you have some position that has multiple iterations of it, that tends to be more of a worker bee position in the value chain. Underneath the worker bee, you have the nuisance. The nuisance. The nuisance was probably a worker bee, and it's probably supposed to be a worker bee, but they found a way to step away from their essential functions of their job. But it's more expensive, it's more time consuming to get rid of them than it is to let them stay. So those people don't have much pull, but they're also not getting a lot of visibility and they're allowed to occupy space because they're not rocking the boat. That's the nuisance. And the last level, the least valued employee value, is that of the liability. If your employer looks at you as a liability, you are a threat to the organization. It is more expensive to keep you than it is to get rid of you. And you become a symbol of what offends the organization. You are the person who has now pushed the organization to a place where they must defend their reputation amongst the other employees. This is when I hear employers, while we are trying to negotiate a settlement, say, well, we don't want to set a precedent that an employee can sue us and we just give up all this money. So they're trying to make an example out of you. The liability is really important because you'll notice that you can drop from being a necessity straight down to a liability once you push back on an organization. So you have to, number one, know where you fall on this value chain. Are you an influencer? Are you a necessity? Are you a worker bee? Are you a nuisance? Are you a liability? Know where you start and know how far you can go. Because once you understand how the employer views you and what your value is, that determines your plan of attack. For example, if you're an influencer, then you can go directly to leadership and let them know that something is amiss and they need to fix it or they will lose you. Because you're important to the culture, they will fix it. Going back to my story of being discriminated against, because I was a product of the institution, because there was an investment in my success, when I reported what was going on, I had leaders coalesce around me and protect me. It's not like that in every organization. If you're a necessity and you begin to push back, they're upset and they want to knock you down to a liability. But what will actually happen is you'll become more of a nuisance and they'll keep you around because your productivity is so important, but they don't really want to fool with you. So that's the five levels of employer value. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's really important about being a liability. Once you decide to stand up against your organization, almost always you're going to be sliding down towards becoming a liability. And where you start on the value chain that I just described determines how quickly you'll get there. The dangerous thing about becoming a liability in your organization is that the attack starts. I talked earlier about how when the drama starts, then you react, then you go to HR, and then usually you're pushed out of the organization. The way they push you out is actually supported by the courts. You heard me right. How they push you out is actually supported by the courts. Now, the courts will not actually say that. Case law that documents the decisions that judges have made that have shaped this area of law will not actually say you have the green light to go ahead and start trashing your employees the minute they say something. What they have said is that we have created a doctrine that's called the after-acquired evidence rule. The after-acquired evidence rule says that when an employee brings a case against an organization and the organization finds out after the fact that really this employee did something 3 months ago that we should have fired them for if we knew about it, we can go ahead and retroactively terminate this person. And that does one of two things. One, if what you could have been fired for happened before the discrimination, then it's as if you were never discriminated against because the court will reason you weren't even supposed to be in a workplace to begin with at that point. Or let's say you are discriminated against and then you do something after the fact that you should have been fired for, the court will then limit the amount of your damages to just that window where you were rightfully in the workplace. The result of this doctrine has been to actually motivate the organization to dig up as much dirt about you as possible and not even stopping at finding things that actually happened. They'll start to accuse you of things. I hate this doctrine because I believe it just slaps the law in the face because the spirit of the law behind Title VII and the other civil rights acts that protect employment, they're supposed to discourage discrimination, period. And it, on a back end kind of way, actually encourages the mistreatment of employees. So that's the setup. begin to react and then report directly to HR, and you don't understand your value to the organization, HR is just using that information to then protect the organization. It works. It's meant for it, right? Well, if you study the human resource certifications, they tell you, you are an arm of the organization that is supposed to help protect the organization. So we have to figure out not just our value, but our journey and strategy getting to HR. That's where we ultimately need to go. Because right now the setup is working against you. You are the one being set up so that when something happens and you complain, boom, you're about to be dropped down to the liability part of the value chain, and you are on your way out of the organization before you can build a strong case. And in fact, you're likely going to leave with them having some sort of case against you. That's the setup. You know, I've struggled with this as an attorney. If you listen to the original podcast episode that I did, I no longer wanted to practice law. I just wanted to put out this information and move on with my life. Why? Because I was frustrated. I'm here to really advocate for this law that's supposed to protect employees, but my clients are going into this process and getting beat up. And it's very frustrating when you feel like you don't have a lot of power. And we tend to see corporations exactly like that, right? Like they have all the power. They're the giants. We don't know how to slay them. And that's why most employees quit when they encounter a difficult situation like this in the workplace. How about you? Have you ever just walked away from a job because it was too stressful, too emotional, just too much drama to even think about trying to fight it, and you just left and went somewhere else? Well, guess what? The EEOC itself, its representatives, have asked me to spread the message to not quit. And so I had to come up with a way, if I was going to, in good faith, encourage you not to quit a dramatic situation like that, I had to also be able to equip you with how to handle it. And that's how I got this proprietary process on how to do just that. There are ways to protect yourself in a situation. So what we're going to do, we just learned about the setup against you, but we are now, in the next episode at least, going to learn how to turn the tables and set them up. Until next time, this is Attorney Anitra, and you have had your fourth session of legal therapy. If you want to learn more information about the proprietary process that I'm coming out with, you can go to aalegaltherapy.com. But if you need help and you're in a sticky situation and you need backup and you need legal representation, like I've said, I've admitted defeat. And I realize that I'm not going anywhere. This world, you guys, you need me. And so I am taking a limited amount of cases. Go ahead and email me at help@aalegaltherapy.com. And I'll go ahead and instruct you on how to set up a consultation with me. Now have patience with me, y'all. I came up with the name for this. AA stands for Attorney Anitra Legal Therapy. Literally talking to Felicia about doing this podcast. I originally wanted to do employees ed. And you know what? That fell through because what I realized, it wasn't just about educating you about employment discrimination. I am literally taking you by the hand and walking with you through the emotional journey of all of this. And so I wanted to come up with a name, a concept that really pulled you through to what has to be there in order for you to get your power back. And that's the emotional stability. Corporate warriors, you guys have got this. You might have been set up, but you're about to start doing some setting up yourself. Until next time, this has been the Trill MBA Takeover with Attorney Anitra. I'll see you next time for our last session of legal therapy. Peace. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.